study begins this evening. We talked about, if you remember, last time we looked at the Baptist deacon or the deacon and the reasons and the example, the understanding about deaconship in the church, and got through those first seven verses and saw some men that were appointed, that were chosen out of the group of the body of believers, and then they were set in a place to be over the needs of the widows of the congregation. And remember, we talked about how that this church had grown at that time, how the church had grown. You'd already seen through just the chapter number 2 and chapter number 3 and maybe even 4 and 5. You see where there was the growth, the abounding growth of the church. Started out 3,000 folks got saved, and then it talks about another place where it talks about 5,000, and then it says that the Lord added to the church, and then it says the number of the disciples multiplied. So they'd gone from just being added to into a place of multiplication, and some scholars say somewhere between maybe 25,000 to 50,000 folks were in the church in Jerusalem at this time. I mean, that's a pretty good size crowd of folks to have to try to take care of. And you know, the situation arose where it said that there were some of those that were in some sort of murmuring and complaining situation about their widows and having their needs met. So they told them to take some men, or to choose out some men. And if you remember, we decided and talked about here that there was a couple of different groups. There were the Jewish Jews, and then there were the Hellenistic, or what we call the Greek Jews, that were there at the time. And one group felt slighted by the other, and you know how that goes. Amen. You've been in church before. Somebody say amen right there. So anyway, that's what's going on with the church at that time. And then they chose some men, and we're given a list of the seven men that are chosen in verse number 5. And as we begin to look at them, we talked about them a little bit last week, but now tonight we're going to look at one man in particular. One man in particular. If you'll begin reading with me in verse number 8, we'll see about that man. It says, "And Stephen," that was the fellow that was on the first name on the list in verse number 5 of those that were appointed over this business, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, the Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God.' And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses, which said, 'This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us.' And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, saw his face as it were, as it had been the face of an angel." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would, tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, again for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for all the things that we read, all the things that we see there. I pray now, just give us direction and wisdom and understanding of the scriptures, and just open it up to our hearts tonight and help us be able to preach something, say something that would be a blessing and be a help to those that are listening. And I pray, God, you just challenge our hearts and stir us to be more like you and understand about this great man of faith, and we'll just thank you in Jesus' name for what you're doing. Amen and amen. I want to talk to you tonight about Stephen. Let's look at Stephen, and I'm going to call him the classy and the classic Christian. Let's look at Stephen. I want you to think of him in that way, if you will. And there's several verses here that just are very descriptive about the situation, about who he is and what he's doing. And then you get into the next chapter. The entirety of chapter number 7 is a message that's preached by Stephen. And somebody say, "A deacon preached a message?" Well, yeah, hallelujah. He did that, didn't he? And then you'll find out a little bit later on as we move along, you'll see that there's another one of these deacons, a fellow by the name of Philip, that went out and preached. And Philip preached in a revival in Samaria, and then God called him out of that revival revival and called him to go to preach to one little old fella out there in the middle of the desert, and he got saved. And, I mean, God was doing some things through the people of God because they were submitting themselves. They were simply submitting themselves to the power of God. And you know what that means? That's a lesson for me and you in case you ain't got it yet. We all need to learn these same thoughts and ideas and same practices that these men had at this time. So let's look at a little bit about Stephen tonight. I say we'll call him the classy and the classic Christian. He was very classy in the way that he behaved and the things that he did, but he was classic in the fact that he was a Christian that believed in the power of God. Isn't that amazing? I like that where it says in verse number 8, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." I mean, here he was. Now, they had already set him aside. You go back and read that and study that, and you'll see that he was set aside at this time as far as being one of those that was chosen to serve the tables. And he was put over this business, and you've read that, and we talked about that last week. But they had a job to do there. But beyond that, he continued to serve the church. He continued to serve the church. I want to tell you, there are many ways that all of us can serve the Lord in His church. And I'll say this. I understand that, this, you know, we talked last week about the deacons, and it said that they told them, choose you out 7 men among you. And we said that that men were the deaconship. I still believe that's right. But I want to tell you, anybody that's saved and knows the grace of God can be a servant unto the Lord. That means ladies. That means men. That means youngsters. And that means oldsters. And that means anybody in between. Anybody can be a servant for the Lord. Amen. Amen. So that's what's going on here. But first of all, let's look at this. And if you'll notice with me, please, that the Bible tells us, first of all, we'll talk about who Stephen was. Let's look at that and talk about a little bit about who he was. First of all, I want you to notice this, that he was a man. I want you to get this as we read it. He was a man that was filled with good works. First of all, I want you to notice that. He was a man that was filled with good works. Now, I know it says in verse number 8, he was full of faith and of power, and he did great wonders and miracles among the people. He was a man that believed in doing work. Why was he working, preacher? Was he working to get saved? No, sir. He was working because he was saved. Amen. He wasn't working to get saved. He wasn't trying to impress God or impress the other apostles or impress anybody. He was just simply doing what he did because he loved God. And that's where the Lord had placed him. He'd put him in a place of service. And that's what he's doing, serving God. Can I tell you again, any one of us can serve God in a number of different ways when we make our minds up and put ourselves to that service. There are people that can teach. There are people that can sing. There are people that can pray. There are people that can give. There are people that can visit. There are people that can encourage. There are people that can do a myriad of things in the life of a Christian. And it all needs to be done for the glory of God. And you know what? I don't know what God wants you to do, but you know. And He'll talk to your heart. I mean, God's given me the blessing of being able to preach and study His Word and look at it and try to bring some things out and help you. And that's how I want to be used of Him. And that's how He's chosen to use me. But you know what? Your gift, your ability, your place is a little different than mine. But thank God for every one of them. Paul, we'll read about him later, but Paul writes on in the book of 1 Corinthians when he's talking about the body needs every one of us. We're not all, the eyes for seeing or the ears for hearing. We're not all that. We have a different place. We may be in a different position in the body, but he said that the Lord had need of all of us. Your body has need of every one of its members, everything you came with. Amen. I tell folks a lot of times, I'd like to be like a GM car. I'd like to go out of here with all the original equipment. Somebody say amen right there. I don't know that that's going to happen, but sometimes, you know, you just things happen in our physical bodies and things change. Amen? And, you know, that you talked with Sister Becky Murphy back there. She can tell you a little bit about that situation. And things change and things happen, but I'm telling you, you notice when things are happen in your physical body. And, you know, God wants His body to be complete, and He's put us in His body. I'm glad I get to be part of the body of Christ. So here was Stephen, and as I say, he was a man that was filled with good works. I want you to notice, first of all, we understand again that he was a deacon, and that word deacon in the Greek was the word diakonos, which just means a servant. That's all that it means, and that's all that he was, and that's all he wanted to be, and that's all he was doing. He was just serving the Lord. I mean, you see, first of all, that in that service that he did, that he was serving and being a minister toward those in his fellowship. He served those in his fellowship. Can I tell you tonight, every one of us can do something for those in our fellowship. Those at the local church, you can serve them. You can serve them. How can I do that, preacher? Brother, just show up, and I mean, let God burden your heart and let God tell you some things to do, and you can be a blessing and a help at the local church. Amen. The local church needs some helpers. Amen. The local church needs some folks that will pray. The local church needs some folks that can give. The local church needs some folks that can teach. The local folk need some more preachers, some more men to stand up and proclaim the gospel. I'm telling you, the church needs those that work in the fellowship. You see what it says here? Here was Stephen. And what was he doing? Well, he's a deacon. He's sitting on a sideline. No, he wasn't. It said he was full of faith and power. He did great wonders and miracles among the people. He was working among the people. I mean, he had a place. He had a job. Hey, you just look back there at verse number 3. And it says, this is where the disciples are talking to them. And it said, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." What was it? It was the serving of the widows, taking care of the widows. He is there, as I said. He's doing some good work. What are those works that he's doing? Well, he's ministering. He's working. He's serving among the fellowship of those that are his fellow believers. So that's one thing he's doing. But I want you to notice the second thing he's doing. He is ministering even to those that are his foes and his enemies on the outside. It says he's doing, in verse number 8, he did great wonders and miracles, listen, among the people. Now, when it's saying among the people, it doesn't just mean that he's there inside the church doing all that work. Part of that is that, sure. We know he worked with the widows and he helped and he ministered in that position. But he was also helping those others. How do you know that? Well, you read the next verse and you'll see that you understand. It said, "Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and the Cyrenians and Alexandrians and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen." He wasn't just ministering to them in the church. He went down to local synagogue and began to minister and worship, or try to worship with them. Now, that didn't go so good, but buddy, I'm telling you, he was out there being a workman for God in the place where he could best do his service. He tried to tell somebody, and you'll see the big deal, the same thing that Peter and John, everybody else gets in trouble with. He gets in trouble. He's trying to preach about Jesus. He's trying to tell them what Jesus has done for him, what Jesus can do for them, and who Jesus really is, and what they have done to Jesus just in an immediate time past when they had him crucified, and how that he died for our sins, how that he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. He's out there telling them about that. And those are the folks you'll see here in a minute that they just really don't like Stephen. They're against him. Can you imagine that? Well, there's a deacon that somebody's getting. Yeah, brother, it's going to happen. Trust me. It's going to happen. There will be people that they're not all in love with everything that you and I are doing. So he's ministering. He's serving. He's serving those in his fellowship. He's serving those that are his foes. But don't you notice this more than anything? He's serving his heavenly Father. He's serving the Father. Let me tell you, everything that Stephen is doing, thank God he's doing it for the Lord. He's not doing it to gain a title. He's not doing it to make a name. He's not trying to move up some ladder, or trying to be some corporate or business success, or trying to influence others so he can have more money or more prestige or anything else. He's simply there to be a servant of the Father. Now, I'm telling you, when you become a servant, you just want to be a servant to the Father. Amen? You remember what that prodigal son said? When the prodigal son went home, he said, "Father, make me like one of your hired servants. I just want to be a servant. I know that if I'm a servant, there'll be plenty for me to eat. There'll be a place for me to stay. There'll be all kinds of good things that I ain't getting out there in the world." You know what the father said? He looked. He didn't even say a word to that boy. He just looked around some of them servants and said, "Go up out of the house and get the best robe. Go find that ring. Go get a parachute. Come down. This is my son." Amen. He's ready to be a servant. I'll tell you, God will move you, and you get willing to take that place as a servant. He'll put you into that place of sonship if you'll just simply let him, okay? But his service was toward the Heavenly Father, okay? So, first of all, notice that you see a man that is filled with good works. And then, notice secondly, if you will, though, he was a man that was filled with gracious words. He's a man that's filled with gracious words. Verse number 9 said, "There arose certain of the synagogue." Now, again, just real quickly, the synagogue, I read this in some theologian's writings. There seemed to have been maybe upwards of 480 synagogues in the city of Jerusalem. 480. Y'all think Baptist churches is on every corner. Amen. Let me tell you. 480. Now, Jerusalem's a pretty good-sized city, but 480. And you know what they said the main reason was? Because they all kind of migrated to their own kind of people. Boy, if that ain't Baptist, they ain't heard it. Well, they ain't like us. We're going to go down here with it. And if you'll notice, listen to this as you read this and as you understand that, you'll see. He says, look, here they are. There was a synagogue, and this one synagogue, he says, it said the synagogue of the libertines. Okay? Let me tell you who the libertines were. Libertines were people that were Hellenistic Jews. Again, the Greek, their families were Greek, or they were outside of the nation of Israel, but they come back and worshiped it, all this. And the libertines were a group where their families had been slaves in Rome or to Roman rule in some way. Their families had been slaves, and they got a freedom. They got free from that somehow or other, however it may have been, paid for it, worked it off, whatever they had to do. But they got to a place of freedom. So when they came in Jerusalem, they all got together. They found a group of people that were like-minded as them, and they all came to this place to work. To worship. They all came to this place. And they said, this is going to be our group, and we're going to come here, and we're going to worship together. Amen? I mean, that's the way they did it. It was the synagogue of the libertines. And then, if you'll notice, it talks about, and possibly, there were five different synagogues mentioned here. It says of the libertines, and the Cyrenians, and the Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. It seems almost like there were maybe five different ones that had met. But all of these that are mentioned are people that are outside of what I've been terming national Jewish people. They were Hellenistic. Their families were from without, okay? They had been born maybe in these different areas that are mentioned, Cyrenia and Alexandria, Cilicia. And let me tell you this. What's interesting about this, think about this and get this in your mind. That you see that it talks about Cilicia. I can't even hardly say that word. Cilicia. You see that? That is where Paul was born. Tarsus, which is in Cilicia. So there's a strong possibility that Paul, and you know this by the end of this, but possibility that Paul is one of these folks that is disputing with Stephen at this time. He's there already. And he's hearing some things out of this deacon. He's hearing this preaching deacon. And he's saying something. And Paul isn't liking him already. He is already stirred up. He's already getting mad. He's already defending his Pharisaic religion. He's already standing in the things and the law of Moses that he's been taught in. And he's making a stand already, and he's here. Probably might be one of these that we're talking about that said that they were disputing with Stephen. Probably was Paul, somewhere along the line. I mean, if you go on and read about Paul and how he did when he got saved and what all he did, you could probably see him on the other side of the fence, and he was just as confrontational and just as dynamic and just as bold, because he talked about, you know, all of his back history and how he had learned and what he was a student of and how that he sat at the feet of Gamaliel and learned the law and all that kind of stuff. So he's probably pretty defensive in this case. But that's who's coming up against Stephen, okay? So just understand that Stephen is a man, though, that is filled with some gracious words. Listen to this. Here they are. Here's this group, these different synagogues, or this may have been one synagogue with all these people in it. We don't know that for sure, but anyway, whatever it was, I feel like Paul was there. Verse number 9. Look at verse number 10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he, Stephen, spake. They couldn't resist that. They couldn't come up again. There was no way they could say something that he couldn't come and refute or answer their question. How did he do that, preacher? Because he knew the Word of God. That's simply all that tells you. And that's why I'm saying he was a man that was filled with some gracious words. He had the words of grace that were down on the inside of his heart. You see that? I mean, how did he do it? Well, first of all, I want you to understand the Bible tells us that he had spiritual wisdom. When Peter told them to seek out some men, it says there in verse number 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men, what? Of honest report, but listen, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Now, you know, a lot of folks say, oh, well, they were just worldly. No, I believe this is spiritual wisdom. I believe Stephen had some spiritual wisdom. Again, look with me, if you will, and notice what it says in verse number 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. Listen, it says, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And then you read on down in verse number 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. There was some spiritual wisdom that was on the inside of this dear man of God. He had some spiritual wisdom. Do you understand today why we need spiritual wisdom? You understand that? Look with me just real quickly in your Bible. Flip over to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1, and notice what Paul says to the church at Ephesus as he's preaching to them. And look down at verse number 14, or excuse me, verse 15. And wherefore, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and loved all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Paul said, I'm praying for you at the church in Ephesus for God to give you some spiritual wisdom. We need to have that same prayer today for churches, that people would have some spiritual wisdom. And I believe you see that Stephen had that spiritual wisdom. It says that they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. He had a spiritual wisdom. But not only did he have a spiritual wisdom, I want you to understand he did that because he knew scriptural words. He understood the scriptures. He was able to answer them when they brought up something, and they thought, as I say, you're looking at some folks that's pretty smart. I mean, you're looking at some guys like Paul and maybe other doctors of the law, and I'm talking about men that had studied and that were versed in the Torah and the Old Testament scripture. And here's Stephen. He stands up and said, well, yeah, but let me tell you all this. And he said, the word says, and buddy, there was nothing that they could say against it. You'll see that as we get into the next chapter when he begins to preach. He goes all the way back to Abraham, starts there, and then he moves on down through Moses and the law and, you know, whatever. He's moving on through. He understood and he knew the scripture. And a lot of folks say, well, preacher, I read my Bible every once in a while. That's why it's a good reason for you to get in and study this book. And I'll tell you this, I ain't got it all figured out yet, but son, I know there's a lot of stuff I need to learn, and I'm trying to get it. Amen. And I think we need to help each other in that realm. So here he is. He's got gracious words because, first of all, he has some spiritual wisdom. Then he has some the scriptural words that he studied and they know. And not only that, he has a spirit about him that cannot be withstood. He said they couldn't resist. They could not stand up against. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. They just, you know, as I say, they would say something. They'd say, "Well, you got to say about that, big boy?" And he'd just come back and say, "Here's what I got to say." And they were like, you know, that sounds right. So there was nothing they could say against what Stephen was putting out there. Why? Because, let me tell you, the Bible said he was a man full of the Holy Ghost. I mean, that's what it says right there in verse 8, Stephen full of faith and power. I mean, he had something that they certainly didn't. And again, I can see Paul standing there, and I believe Paul's blood pressure went up a few points. I believe that face began to get redder and redder and redder. And you can see right here, I believe this is where God begins to work on the heart of Saul before he becomes Paul. I believe he's working in his life already. And he's got him mad. "Well, I'm mad. I'm going to get upset over you." Well, go ahead. Amen. And you know, we've all been there before, haven't we? I got mad at preachers when I was lost. What are they doing in my business? What do they know about me? What are they talking about me for? You know, we've all got, I believe Paul just kind of gets it heaped up. Matter of fact, you remember here as you get to the end of it, we will eventually, where Stephen dies, and it says he looks up to heaven. And he says, "I see Jesus standing up." Boy, don't you know that just chapped old Paul? He said, "Wah." He got mad. And then he said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And he laid down and went to sleep. And that made Saul mad. And then he get in chapter 8 and it said he began to breathe out threatenings and slaughters against the church. Boy, his getting that conviction real good heaped up. And I'm telling you, coals of fire poured on his head. And then he just couldn't go no further. Chapter number 9, he runs into Jesus head on and the Lord knocks him down. Amen. I'm just telling you, this. I believe this is where it all began in Saul, Paul's life. I believe this is it. But you see that Stephen here was a man that had a spirit that could not be withstood. He was full of the Holy Ghost. I like that. That's what it says in verse number 3. "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." And that's what they have done. They picked the right guy, hadn't they? They picked the right man, and God's all over him. So that is Stephen. All right, so let's look at, you see, he's a man that is filled with some good works. He's a man that's filled with some great and gracious words. But I want you to notice this also as we look toward these last several verses. I want you to know that he was a man that was filled with a glowing witness. He's a man that was filled with a glowing witness. Notice this, what happens. The Bible says, they were not able to resist that wisdom and spirit by which Stephen spake. It said, "Then they suborned men, which said, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him, caught him, and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." So, boy, look at that. First of all, I want you to notice this about that crowd. You see their anger. You can see, as I said, I believe Paul's getting his furnace filled up with something to get mad over. I believe he's getting his wagon loaded right now. And you see there is anger. It says, here they are, and they're disputing. Verse number 9, disputing with Stephen. Now, they weren't just casually discussing the scriptures. Somebody said, I think Dr. J. Vernon McGee said, that if you were in the Middle East at this time, and still Middle Eastern people are like this, they don't play Switzerland, okay? They're not neutral on anything. Either they hate it, or they love it. I mean, you go over there, and if you're an American with green dollars, they love you. They'd like to lead you. Oh, hallelujah, we're glad you're here. You know. But if they get against you, they're in your face, and they're throwing them fingers, and they're talking that talk, and it sounds hateful and horrible. And that's the way they talk to each other. I don't know if you've ever been around any of that, but it's pretty rough. And you think, I don't think that guy likes that other one over the way they're talking. We were on the airplane and going over to Israel. And the stewardess came over to us. One of the stewardesses, she came over and she said, "Oh, y'all are from the South. And we said, how'd y'all know? You know. So we were talking with her, and she said, y'all are so sweet and so nice and la-da-da-da-da-da. So then she says, hang on a minute. I've got to go talk to some of our other people. She went over there, and she started trying to talk to them. Most of them were Jewish. That were, she's going, and we're like, what in the world is that? I mean, it was a harsh sound to speak. And they just sat there like, okay. And, you know, they're used to that kind of speak back and forth. They don't do it gently. So to see them stirred up either way, to love it or hate it, is probably not uncommon. But here they're disputing with Stephen. In other words, they're throwing stuff at him. They're shooting it back at him. But you know what he's doing? He's putting it right back to them. But he's got the spirit of God and of wisdom and of faith as he does deliver it. God's all over him. So, but you see, first of all, you notice that they have their own, or their anger is seen. You see their anger. Second of all, I want you to notice, you see their accusations. I mean, they are hurling accusations at Stephen. Verse number 11, it just tells us there that it said they suborned men. In other words, they went out and hired them, some guys, to lie, which said, we've heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. This is the same crowd that found those false witnesses to come out and say what they wanted to put against Jesus as far as what he had said. And everything that Jesus, and this is probably the same thing that Jesus had said. And as a matter of fact, Stephen may have given those words of Jesus in support, because it says that they say that we've heard him say in verse 14 that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the custom which Moses delivered us. They had probably heard Stephen preach and mention the fact that Jesus was going to, said that the whole city of Jerusalem and the temple and everything is going to be knocked down. You know what? It was. It was going to happen in 75 AD. It wasn't happening right then, but it was going to happen a few years before. And they got all tore out of frame about that. Right. But you know what? It was the truth as to the Word of God. And really what Jesus was talking about, and probably what Stephen was talking about, he said, you destroy this temple, this tabernacle, this body, and I'll raise it again in 3 days. And he said that things were going to change from the law of Moses. He said, you've heard it said. He said, but I say unto you, many times Jesus said that, and here's Stephen probably saying some of those same things. He said, he's going against the law. He's against the law. No, Jesus said, I've come to fulfill the law and that you might be having eternal life through me. Amen? So, I mean, Stephen's just preaching the truth, but they just ain't liking it. So they're not getting with the program. So you see their anger. You see their accusations. I mean, listen, they are saying that he's a blasphemer. They are saying that he is against Moses, against God. And it says they stirred up the people, verse 12, and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, caught him, brought him to the council. They set up false witnesses again, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law, because he says what Jesus of Nazareth said. And you can almost hear the contempt in their voice. This Jesus of Nazareth, the way they're saying it. If you look at it, it says, for we have heard him say that, this Jesus of Nazareth fellow. You hear that contemptible in that, the contemptible tone, shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. But then I want you to notice, last of all, their amazement at what they saw. Verse 15, and all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Could you imagine? Here's Stephen. I mean, they're lying and they're setting him up and they're telling all these things. Stephen just sitting there. And they're looking at him and they're seeing the face of an angel. Can you imagine this? The Bible talks about when Moses had been up in the mountain, got the law from God himself, and he came down the mountain. The people asked him to put a veil over his face because his face shone so brightly that they couldn't look on him, and it was just simply the glory of God. Can I tell you, I believe Stephen had a touch of that glory on him at this time. They looked at him, and it says that the whole council was looking steadfast. I mean, it was an amazing thing to them to look at this man and see him just calm, relaxed, and at peace over everything that was said, everything. You know, usually if somebody's there saying some negative things about you, you're usually ready to defend. You know, normally your face gets a little tightened up and your demeanor may change and the tone of your voice may change, but I don't believe it did for Stephen. And, you know, it just said in chapter number 7, look ahead just a minute, then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" And he said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran." I mean, he seems to be pretty calm. He's not charging them. He's not trying to defend himself. He's not trying to defend anything. He just simply gets into the Word of God as his defense. Who else does that sound like? Remember when Jesus is led, and you'll notice the Bible tells us, if you've never noticed this before, when you read in Matthew chapter number 4, it says, then Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The Spirit did that. Hey, the Spirit's working here in Stephen also. And Jesus went out into the desert and was tempted. Here, Stephen is in a pretty desert place. He's in there with all this bunch that's accusing and pointing and being about like the devil against him. And, you know, he's just cool, calm, and collected. And they look at him. And they're amazed that they see his face. It says, his face as it had been the face of an angel. I've never seen the face of an angel, but man, wouldn't that be amazing? It probably shone, probably had a glow, probably had a serenity and a certain assurance about it. It had a certain way about it that looked like, man, this fella is not really worried about what we think or what we're saying or what we're accusing him of. But he just simply got it all together, and he's about to give the Word of God to them. We'll look at that next time, but I just want you to see these things tonight and notice Stephen. And let's just call him a classy and a classic Christian. I believe you can see that through his life. I mean, he is here in this place, and God has put him there. And he's just standing his ground. He's just doing what the Lord's called him to do. And God is blessing everything. And he's got the fullness of the Spirit. He's got the power of God. And he's got the words that are getting used and working on these people. Now, you'll see in the end of chapter number 7, they don't exactly like it. Okay? When we think about this, it says that they cry out with a loud voice. In verse 57, he said, they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, ran upon him, cast him out of the city, and stoned him. I mean, they were not receiving the Word of God very well. But aren't you glad Stephen looked up and said, Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge. Just like Jesus, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Sometimes people don't know, but I'm glad God gives them another chance. And you know, as I say, it tells us here, those that were stoning him lay their garments at the foot of a young man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. He didn't know what he was doing, but he's about to find out what God was doing. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? Well, thank you for being here tonight. Brother Ronnie, come on, let's sing a verse of a song and see what someone may need some prayer, may need just to talk with the Lord Jesus in some way. Whatever you may need to do tonight, we will do that. But I'm just so glad that God still uses men and still has all of these things that he gave Stephen. They're still available for us in the church today. You can be filled with the Spirit. You can be filled with the power of God. You can be full of the Holy Ghost. I mean, you can have all those things if we'll just simply say, Lord, here I am. Use me. You'll find out that Stephen was, as I say, a man that was used. You also find out about Philip. You see Peter and John and the other apostles. And then later on we're going to see how that it changes the life of a man by the name of Saul into a man named Paul. And the power of God rests on him. Amen. Let's stand if you would tonight. What are we going to sing? Thanks,